following program is brought to you by your friends at Podcast One.
This week, the PHP is brought to you by Scentbird, Psychic Source, Kopari, Gilead, and Vitalife.
3, 2, 1.
Live from Los Angeles,
it's the PHP.
The Perez Hilton
Podcast.
With my man,
Chris Booker.
It's Booker, baby.
And the one and only world famous Perez.
Beat Perez Hilton.
Y'all ready?
It's the PHP.
Hey guys, welcome to the PHP. I'm Booker.
He's Perez. It's a late night. How are you?
We have a lot to talk about, but, big but, okay? Not just Grammys, people. But first, how are you? How have you been?
I'm good. Thank you very much. Very good.
Boring answer.
Well, what did you want?
Well, one exciting thing that happened in your life over the last 5.5 days, 6 days.
I saw Green Book, which was phenomenal. One of the best movies I've ever seen. It was
what?
So good.
One of the best movies you've ever seen?
Ever. It's such a great movie. I loved it. I just loved it. I enjoyed that. I didn't do much else this weekend.
Well, I did a lot this weekend. I was in Big Bear with my kids. I had never been to Big Bear before, and I think I'm going to have to come every year. It has been the best weekend. We did sledding. We did tubing. We went to the zoo. We went bowling. It was a jam-packed 2 full days. And I had a great time.
Nice.
Sledding could be a little dangerous. Actually, tubing could be a little dangerous. Basically, if you're me doing any winter activity, it's dangerous.
Listen, when you get near that 40 number, it's a little dangerous doing anything.
Well,
that involves speed.
Yeah, kids did it better than me.
They have no fear, dude. You can't expect them not to. I mean, there's no such thing as fear in their eyes yet. They don't understand fear.
It was a great time, though. But I stupidly also was sledding with one hand because I wanted to videotape myself with the other.
Dumbass.
I had so much fun. Like just my body out of this world fun. It was the best time. All right. Enough about that. Let's get to the Grammys. But before we get to the Grammys, I need to rewind for a hot second and talk about what we didn't see at the Grammys. And that is Ariana Grande.
Mm-hmm.
Because the days leading up to the Grammys, we found out that there was not a meeting of the minds, let's say, between her camp and the Grammys producer, Ken Ehrlich. He claims that he didn't speak to Ariana directly. Ariana decided not to perform or attend because she says she felt like her creativity was stifled and the Grammys were trying to dictate too much of what she was doing and that she wished it was more collaborative. So that was that. And she even called the producer of the Grammys a liar and blah, 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 which I kind of love. You know, she was standing up for herself and she doesn't need the Grammys. I think the Grammys needed her more than she needs the Grammys.
Yeah, she doesn't want to be a part of it. She doesn't have to be.
The thing that just popped into my head for the first time when I was saying it out loud was, I'm actually now thinking, I'm a little disappointed Ariana just didn't call this guy on the phone herself. Because a lot of the times you can understand somebody better if you talk to them directly instead of a game of phone tag, you know?
Well, the telephone message usually gets lost in that game of telephone. Look, bottom line, I don't believe her. I don't believe what she said. I don't believe that they weren't collaborative. I don't believe that they said she couldn't do something. I don't believe her. I simply don't believe her.
Why? Why would you think she would make that up?
I don't know. Because why couldn't she, just as you just said, why could she not pick up the phone? The Grammys has been on for 1,000 years. They seem to make it work every single year with every single artist. No one has a problem. I don't know. There's something else to the story. And the Grammys, they're caught between a rock and a hard place. Because you can't really say that the artist is lying. Even if they are lying, you can't say that because you're there for the artist. So you just kind of have to take your lumps. And this Ken guy on his way out just said, look, one thing that no one's ever called me is uncollaborative. You know, so he was trying to take up for himself a little bit. There's something in the middle here I don't believe. I don't know what it is because I don't know the facts, but I don't believe something. Something stinks. Something stinks to me. I'm just not going to overwhelmingly take the artist side every time here. I'm just not going to.
That's why I think she should have called the guy.
Right. I agree with you.
Yeah. And I had not had that thought. And if anything, she could have just stated her case, being like, you know, this is important to me for these reasons and blah, 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 mm-hmm. blah. Having said that, Ariana is the hottest artist in music. Hotter than anybody else. Hotter than any male. No one is hotter than her right now.
Undisputed.
She should have performed. And actually, I think she should have opened the show. Instead, mm-hmm. they had Camila Cabello, whom I love, okay? Love her. But fucking Havana came out in 2017. No, it's not funny.
It is funny because it took a while for that song to get going. That song was out for a good 3 to 4 months before anyone even paid attention to it. Before it was even on the radio, it built. It took a long yeah. time.
Okay, fine.
And most love happened within this last year.
But to have a song that came out in 2017 open the Grammy Awards, it's reflective to me of how out of touch they are. The Grammys are out of touch. They are, in my opinion. But before we get back to the Grammys and really get into it, Ariana released her new album on Friday. Like I said, she doesn't need the Grammys. She doesn't even need any promo, although she did do one bit of promo. And y'all, I am such an Arianator these days. That bitch did this interview with this radio guy that was an hour and 23 minutes long. I, who doesn't watch television or anything, watched that entire damn interview. And I am the biggest Ariana fan now. And I love this new album. Have you heard it?
Love it. Yeah, it's great.
This is her best album, in my opinion. And I'll say why. Because it's the most Taylor Swift album she's ever released. Meaning she has done, for the first time, wholly what Taylor Swift has always done, which is turn her life into really personal yet universal songs that chronicle years or months or in the Ariana case, just a few months of her life.
Yeah.
a very short window of time. But it was fascinating to hear and also just so well done and executed. I have so many favorite songs. My favorite of all of the new songs that I heard is this one song called Fake Smile. I was having so many great emotions listening to that song. I'm like, God, this is like a Beyonce song. This is so good. But having said that, I don't think that should be the next single after the number one Seven Rings. Seven Rings went number one. I think the next single should be this song called NASA, which I love.
NASA, no. The hook falls apart.
Really? I think it's great. I think it's very radio friendly.
No, NASA's not a single. Bloodline will probably be the next single. If I was picking it, that's what I would go with. NASA, the hook falls apart. The build up to the hook of that song, when I was listening to that song, I was like,
space.
I'm like, this is a jam. This is a hit. Then comes the hook, and I'm like, this is not a hit. The song has fallen apart. I wish she would have taken more time on the hook and the sell.
When you think back on Thank You Next, that's not the hookiest of songs either. Thank you. Next. That's not
the whole song is a hook. Thank you. Next. The payoff is there. The payoff is not there for NASA at all.
Yeah, well,
that's the problem with NASA. There's no payoff. Bloodline, there's a payoff, I think.
Yeah.
And I love Fake Smile. I like that song too. To just add on to what you said, when I initially heard it, I said, it's like reading her diary for the past 15 months. It's exactly what it sounds like. And it has a lot of hip hop elements to it. It doesn't have that hot AC production, if you know what I mean, that adult contemporary one last time with the simple little dings and the whatever. This is like hip hop beats, trap beats at times. And it's like a hip hop album, but pop. And it's very contemporary. I don't know how that album ages. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if that album makes sense in 5 years from now. I don't know. We'll have to see how this music kind of plays out. I don't know if these songs are timeless. They may have a shelf life because they are so of her life right now. But I think in this non-album single world, that's what you're going to have to get used to, because people are just going to put out singles.
Even if you have just one timeless song off an album.
Thank You Next. Yeah, you're right. Thank You Next. That is a song that we will hear in a year or 2 years. I mean, that song has legs.
And to her credit, surpassing her last album, Sweetener, that one debuted, I believe it, about approximately 235,000 units the first week. This one is expected to move between 270 to 300,000 the first week. So, you know, in this day and age, to be able to surpass what you just did in the music industry, I think that's a big deal. I'm fascinated by her now and everything, and her crew and their friends and blah, blah, blah. I'm such an
I feel like I turned the page on her for you. Because
no, you
were,
didn't.
Please. Go back and listen to the. Oh, no. I made you go back and listen to that. Hey, listen to anybody that listened to this podcast. I was the one that was super fanning, and you're like, I don't like her. I don't care. She sucks. Blah, 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 blah. You know what you are? You're Johnny come lately. That's what you are. You're like a front runner. You're like the fan that shows up in the playoffs. That's what you are. You're like, she's number one. I love her. I've loved her all along. Break. 6 months ago, you were hating on her.
I did not love her all along, and she won me over. Okay. It was her, not you. Jesus. Mm-hmm. Anyways, before we really get to the Grammys, I want to take a moment to thank a new sponsor, Scentbird. Oh my God, this is perfect for me because I love scents, and if you love scents, or have a loved one who loves scents. My mom loves scents as well. It's one of my favorite things to give her. So that's why I'm so excited. I am now a part of the Scentbird family because they will give you scents every single month. And now I'm going to get several fragrances to give my mom a month and for me too. There are over 450 designer brands that you can choose from with Scentbird, and not just perfumes for women, colognes for men as well. I'm talking Gucci, Tom Ford, Kenneth Cole, Burberry, Prada. Oh my God. And get this. I told you it's not that expensive. I'm going to save you even more money. Go to scentbird.com/Perez and use my code Perez for 50% off your first month. That's scentbird.com/Perez to try your first cologne or perfume for just $7.50. Cents. Get it? Sign on. Smell amazing.
It took me a second, but I got it. It's pretty good.
All right. We already mentioned Camila Cabello, who opened the Grammys.
Didn't you love that? With Ricky Martin coming out and J Balvin. I thought that was a really nice kickoff.
I didn't think it was bad, but I didn't think it was great. Not only because the song has been out almost 2 years, but also because, to her credit, that girl, her Cuban work ethic, she has performed that song on television and in award shows previously so many times. So there wasn't anything that felt extremely special about it, other than this time she included Ricky Martin. But it wasn't bad. I probably wouldn't have opened with that, to be honest. I would have just put Lady Gaga first. After Camila Cabello and Ricky Martin and J Balvin, it was Shawn Mendes and Miley Cyrus. I appreciated the gratuitous sleeveless action that Shawn Mendes was giving us.
Okay.
That spiced up his usually vanilla performance. He's never bad, okay?
I mean, you want to talk about seeing that performance 50 times? We've seen it. Thank God Miley saved it.
No. Miley did not save him. Miley stole his performance.
Yeah, stole it. That's a better word for it. She stole it. Yeah, she made it her own.
Afterwards, there was an award. Lady Gaga won with Bradley Cooper for Shallow. After that, Kacey Musgraves came and performed Rainbow. And she ended up being the big winner of the night. She won Best Album and several other awards. And I found it captivating, even though she just stood there. It was a special song. She's a special artist. I've loved her a long time. And I loved her performance. After that was Janelle Monáe. And I think she is perhaps the most overhyped artist in music. I don't dislike her. I don't think her performance was bad, but she's overly praised, in my opinion. I'm like, I don't see it. I don't get it. I'm also not buying what she's selling.
To me, every one of her songs sounds like she's a Prince protege. And I don't know if you remember like Apollonia 6 or Vanity 6, but those songs that Prince produced all sounded exactly like the songs that she puts out. And none of them were great. None of them. I mean, name one Apollonia 6 song. You know what I mean? And that's what she sounds like to me.
Hello. Nasty Girl by Vanity
Well, that's
Six.
Vanity
one of the
Six.
Best songs of the 80s. No, it's not Apollonia 6. It's just Apollonia.
No, it was Vanity 6 then Apollonia 6. She took over for Vanity.
It was not Apollonia. Oh, really?
Yeah, she took over for Vanity. When Purple Rain came out.
Oh, wow. I did not know that. Oh, wow. You're right.
Come on. You're talking to Captain Prince here. I mean, come on. That's what I mean. That music sounds like that to me. And it just... I'm with you. I mean, when you tweeted that you thought that she's a little overrated, I was like, yeah, I kind of agree with you. She just continuously gets looks.
She's a lot like Tori Kelly.
That's, you know, I said that, I said that 2 days ago. I said that to Kellen 2 days ago, and I couldn't come up with her name. I was like, you know, the blonde-haired, frizzy girl that kept getting, like, Pepsi commercials, and she just kept getting look after look and never could land a hit. Tori Kelly, that's exactly it. That's the girl I was thinking of.
But I like Tori Kelly more than Janelle Monáe. Tori Kelly can really sing. God bless her. Although she made a gospel album.
Oh, she did.
A couple of months ago.
I didn't know she was all God Squad, really.
Oh, yeah. Oh, major, major, major. Huh. All right. After that was Song of the Year, Childish Gambino won. Mm-hmm. And that one goes to the songwriters. And to me, that song, The Middle, is such an earworm. We're going to be hearing The Middle 30 years from now. I don't know if we're going to be hearing This Is America 30 years from now.
I agree with you. That song is, it's a monster. You couldn't get away for it for an entire year. The song was robbed. Totally robbed. But I get why Childish Gambino won. I just get it. Because it's more of a testament of the time.
Well, first of all, what is the best? What does that mean? It's an award show. It's all subjective. And secondly, the people that win aren't always the most deserving.
Right.
To me, that middle song with Zedd and Maren Morris and Gray, that deserved to get the award for songwriting, period. But it didn't. Instead, Childish Gambino won. And he, this is the funniest thing. He went to a Grammys pre-party, but didn't even show up to the Grammys. And he was in town, and he was nominated for major awards. But I actually respect that. Here's why. I would rather an artist not show up to the Grammys than show up to the Grammys and shit on the Grammys like Drake did. I thought it was kind of lame for Drake to show up and then diss them, in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't know if he dissed them. I didn't feel that he dissed them. I just thought he said, look.
He totally dissed them.
I took it. He was saying, just celebrating just me. It doesn't really mean anything. We all should be celebrated because we're all putting asses in seats is what it meant to me. I think he is saying that rewards are silly. And I think that all of the people there realize that the awards are silly. It's all subjective.
Yeah, it was a diss, though. He's like, you don't need the Grammy.
I don't know.
You don't need it was a Fiona Apple. It was the Fiona Apple moment for the MTV Awards. This is all bullshit, you know?
Right. But it is all bullshit. I mean, everybody knows it's all bullshit.
Don't show up to the Grammys and then say that.
Yeah, but I don't think he was.
My
point is, I don't think he was belittling the Grammys. I think he was lifting up the other artists that didn't win.
I think he was belittling the Grammys.
If you say so.
Yes, I'm right. After that was Post Malone and with the Chili Peppers, but it was a Post Malone performance. It was solid. I liked it. I wouldn't say I loved it, but I liked it.
I didn't understand bringing the Peppers out in that song choice. Like, if you're going to do a song with Post Malone, do Scar Tissue, do Under the Bridge, have him sing, trade verses with Anthony Kiedis. I just didn't understand that song and why they did that. It didn't make sense to me.
Ken told them to.
Blaming Ken for everything.
Yeah. After Post Malone was the tribute to Dolly Parton with Kacey Musgraves and Katy Perry. And you know what? I kind of love a lot that Katy Perry showed up to the Grammys and performed for 60 seconds as part of a Dolly Parton tribute.
Mm-hmm.
Because some artists, like Beyonce, or anybody else that was that's a big artist, they may feel, oh, unless I'm getting like a big look, I'm not going to do it. Or that's beneath me, they might think. Beyonce would probably think, you know, doing 60 seconds in the Diana Ross tribute would be beneath her. But I love that Katy Perry did it. And I think that was a good look for her. And she...
Yeah, it was nice to see her.
Yeah, she didn't sound amazing, but she didn't sound bad either. I loved Miley during the Dolly tribute. Miley was my MVP for the night. I wish she would have gotten to perform a third time. I really wanted more from her. I think Marriage is treating her really well. There's something about Miley these days. I'm loving it. Maren Morris also performed the Dolly tribute, and Little Big Town did. And Dolly even did a new song, which I loved. So that was great. And we've been talking Grammys so much. But before we continue and wrap up our Grammys coverage and then move on to other things, I think I'm going to call the psychic source before the Oscars so they can tell me who's going to win so I can play some bets. I'm going to be a gambling man. I actually need all of their input because I have not seen any of the nominated films. But the psychic source, let me tell you, they have trained professionals, over 300 carefully screened, highly experienced psychics. And the best part, they are available 24/7. So if you think your husband is cheating on you, if you're concerned you're about to get fired, if you need somebody with some intuitive powers to help you, the psychic source is for you. And you can try it out for only 83 cents a minute. Your first 3 minutes are absolutely free, and get your very own guide to psychic readings free. Not happy? Well, the psychic source will refund you, and you can keep the guide. That's how confident they are that you'll be blown away. Just call 800-377-3188 and mention promo code Hilton to get the super discounted rate of only 83 cents a minute. Or you can sign up at psychicsource.com. That's 800-377-3188, promo code Hilton, or psychicsource.com. All right. After the Dolly tribute was her, which I thought she was good, solid. I mean, I wasn't blown away. I didn't think it was bad.
Talent there for sure. But yeah. Just solid. Let's go with solid. I like that.
After her was Cardi B. And I would say it was a solid A-. I loved it, but I didn't love it with exclamation marks. I loved it maybe with one exclamation, or I wouldn't say I loved it. I liked it a lot.
That was a very run-of-the-mill performance. I thought she could have done a lot better. Wasn't terrible. Maybe B-. I'll go B-. But I wanted a hit. Starts with the song to me, and I wasn't singing along. I was just watching, like, oh, this is kind of boring.
I thought she looked great. I thought she sounded great. I loved the scale of it. It was big. It was dope. It felt like a Grammys performance, musical. She was confident. It was all, I loved it. And it was still Cardi at the same time. I thought it was great. After that was the award for a country album. Kacey Musgraves won. Then Alicia Keys did a little medley of other people's songs leading into New York. I loved it. She's great. Dan and Shay got a nice look. They're this country duo. That guy really sang. Wow, that was awesome. After that was the best rap song. Drake won, and then he gave that speech. Then Diana Ross was celebrated for her 75th birthday by Diana Ross celebrating herself.
Yeah, and they have a whole special on CBS coming up. It's like, do we have to go on for 10 hours on this? It was too long.
I was surprised that she didn't collaborate with anybody else, though. I really enjoyed that Dolly did that. You know, there was nothing special about the Diana performance. We've seen Diana Ross perform a ton of times. I wouldn't say it was boring, but it just didn't feel special. It felt like, oh, another Diana Ross performance.
Bored.
After that was Lady Gaga, and I understand why she did it, but I think the Gaga performance was a mess, and here's why. It was a mess. It was weird. But that's kind of who Gaga is. And I felt like she wanted to give a very Gaga performance for the Grammys. And then at the Oscars, have it be not so weird and have it be a more Oscars performance of that song.
I thought it was one of the best performances of the night.
What?
Why? Did you not get it? It's why she's such a crazy, talented, interesting artist. She came out and performed a song. If it was a high energy rock song with the pointing and the kicking and the hair flipping.
Yeah, that was weird as fuck.
Yeah, and she was doing a ballad. That's why it was so good. She did something completely different with a song that, as you said, you expected to go on the Oscars with Bradley Cooper. They're going to sit in a piano and stare at each other and she'll probably cry during it. She can't do the same performance. So she says, what's the polar opposite? And she does something that no one has ever thought of doing before. I'm going to act out a song as a heavy metal rock song, but it's going to be a ballad. I thought it was brilliant. Next level brilliant. I don't get how you don't get it. Artistic, thoughtful, amazing. I thought it was great. She looked great. She sounded great. A plus for me.
She looked great.
Her hair was awesome.
Though.
Well, yeah, I love you're a hair. Hater. That's why.
No, I'm not a hater. I just did not.
That was, Perez, that was so art. It was the most artistic thing of the night. There was nothing more artistic tonight than that. Nothing. Doing a heavy metal performance to a ballad is fucking art, if you ask me. I don't see how you don't get it that way.
Well, it didn't land. It didn't connect. It didn't resonate with me.
It did with me. I don't know what you missed or what you were watching or what you were hating, but I thought it was a really interesting and cool idea.
It didn't do anything for me.
Okay, that's cool.
After my two favorite performances haven't happened yet, so I'll get to them.
Okay.
After that was Travis Scott. Uh-huh. I'm just not a Travis Scott fan, but I did like the cage bit.
The cage was cool, wasn't it? When the kids ran up to the cage and were running up it, it seemed kind of dangerous. It was cool.
Yeah, I liked that.
The whole auto-tune, though.
Ugh, I know. T-Pain just replied to my tweet.
No, he didn't.
He did.
Did he really?
I said, yeah. During the Travis Scott performance,
how could you not lead with that? That's fucking hilarious.
Well, because it just happened.
Oh, okay.
Literally, I just saw it. During the Travis Scott performance, the first half was him super auto-tunes, and I said, Kanye and T-Pain ruined rap music with auto-tune. And then T-Pain responded saying, quote, I didn't tell anybody to copy me. I just wanted to have my terrible chart-topping award-winning records all by myself.
You know what? Let's give T-Pain a little credit. At least he did it first. Okay? He's right. He can't help it that everybody from till the end of time now has bit off of his that has no talent. Now everybody that has no talent does it. It's comical. Jay-Z tried to kill it in that song, Death of Autotune, when he said it was so famously said it was over. Death of autotune. It's enough T-painting. We're tired of it. But nobody listened because everybody's still doing it.
Well,
that's funny. That's so fucking funny. Well, that's good, T-Pain. I enjoyed that.
That's a good segue to our next performance, which was Jennifer Lopez doing a Motown tribute. And if you don't know, that entire performance was using live auto-tune. But the difference between when Travis Scott did it and when J-Lo did it, well, actually, the weird thing is, it was clearly a stylistic choice when Travis Scott did it, because they have live auto-tune now that doesn't sound like auto-tune. You know, if you're just an average listener and you don't know, like I know, it'll just sound like you're sounding good. But Travis Scott wanted it to sound like T-Pain. J-Lo wanted just to sound amazing, but she's not the most amazing singer. But because of auto-tune, she sounded really fucking good.
She sounded great, yeah.
And I thought, I'm not mad that she used live auto-tune. I would rather you use auto-tune and sound good than lip-sync, you know?
Yeah.
At least she didn't lip-sync. And she killed it. I thought that she was going to get a lot of heat for it because I'm like, what the fuck is Jennifer Lopez doing a Motown tribute for? But it was awesome. I loved it. It was, I think, one of my top two performances of the night.
Yeah, I think it was my favorite. And especially going in with, what does Jennifer Lopez have to do with Motown? With that in my head, I was like, I don't know how good this is going to be. Is she just a part of it? And That girl is just a performer. She just knows what the hell she's doing out there. You know what I mean? She's captivating. She knows how to choreograph shit. She knows what she's doing. That Vegas residency, since she has done that, I think that has stepped her up as a performer, having to do it night in, night out, because she's never been a, you know, go on tour kind of girl. That's not her thing. She's never done that. So I just think this nonstop performing has made her a better performer.
I thought she was great. After the J-Lo thing, they did best R&B album. Congratulations to her. She also slightly dissed the Grammys, saying it's an EP. I think one of the themes of the night is dissing the Grammys.
See, I didn't find that as a Grammy diss at all. I wouldn't even have thought that.
After that was Brandi Carlile. I thought she was great. After Brandi Carlile, Beyonce's proteges, Chloe and Halle, performed. I didn't really care for their take on the song.
Yeah.
It didn't do it for me.
They're too young to know what that song even means or how to perform it. They're just kids.
After that, Cardi B won for Best Rap Album. She's the first solo female to win that category. Nicki Minaj has not. So congrats, Cardi B.
Wow.
And it was a very emotional acceptance speech from her. She was cut off by the stupid producers who were cutting off everybody.
What's she going to stand up there for 20 minutes? I mean, get up there and say something. Be prepared. She stood up there for 5 minutes and didn't say anything.
After that was St. Vincent and Dua Lipa.
That was cool.
And St. Vincent is what Janelle Monáe is trying to do, but St. Vincent does it better.
Yeah.
I loved the St. Vincent and Dua Lipa performance. That to me was unexpected as fuck, and it landed. That to me, you know, you mentioned art. That to me, that was art. That was what Gaga was trying to do, but didn't. I think I can be objective. If in my mind Gaga gave a great performance, I'd be like, holy fuck, that was amazing.
I think most people didn't give a rat's ass about the performance that you're talking about right now. I agree with you that it was great. I believe that most people, no one's going to be talking about it tomorrow. Do I think most people are going to be talking about Gaga either? I don't know if that's going to be the fact either. But I still think you're off base on this one. Most people don't know who Dua Lipa is, and I guarantee you most people have no idea who, I can't even remember her name.
St. Vincent.
St. Vincent.
Yes, they do. Well, not most, but a lot of people know who she is.
No. People know New Rules. That's all they know. And most people don't even know who she sings it. And most people, how about this, think Dua Lipa is a group. She's not like a household name.
Well, she won Best New Artist, and I really hope she does not get the Best New Artist curse, which Alessia Cara has. She won last year, and she's over. Sad.
Oh, no. Come on.
She is. She released a follow-up album that flopped.
Yeah,
majorly.
Did not do well. That's true.
A hard flop. It's a bummer. There was the Aretha Franklin tribute with Yolanda Adams and Fantasia and Andra Day. Once again, Fantasia. Phenomenal. And I sent out this tweet, which was not a diss, and I hope people don't interpret it as a diss. I was so thankful that it was Fantasia doing this Aretha tribute and not Jennifer Hudson, because Jennifer Hudson is so overused, you know, to pay tribute to people, and Fantasia is so underused.
Oh, okay. That's a nice point. I like that a lot.
Yeah. Fantasia is amazing. Oh, she was so freaking good.
Yeah, it was nice that they dug her up to do that, because she did a nice job. You know, you forget how talented she is. She really is a talent. And all three of those ladies, I mean, just singing up there, just, I mean, my God, the voices on all three of those women was, it's just unbelievable.
Health and sex. They go together like peanut butter and jelly. Before you have a taste, know your prevention options. See why health and sex belong together. Visit healthysexuals.com.
After that, we had Record of the Year that went to Childish Gambino, who wasn't there. And then Album of the Year, Kacey Musgraves. And somebody else who was not at the Grammys, whom also I think should have been there. And it's yet another example of how the Grammys are out of touch. Halsey was not at the Grammys. Mm-hmm. And I think that's probably one of the reasons why she ended up hosting and performing on Saturday Night Live.
Look, it could be just as easy as she already committed to SNL.
Well, you know what? Even if she had already done a performance on SNL, she should have still done another performance on the Grammys because she's that hot right now,
yeah.
I think.
She could have flown in, but she would have missed rehearsal and everything else. And she probably wants the best possible look. And she'll get that next year.
She could have rehearsed Sunday morning. She could have taken a private plane.
Dude, she just killed Saturday herself. Do you have any idea how hard the prep is for 1 week of SNL then to come and pull off the Grammys and a performance the next night? She should have at least been there, I think. But I do understand her not performing. SNL, she wasn't just the musical act, remember. She was the host
I know.
Musical act. That's a lot to put on anybody's shoulders. And then to say, do the biggest show of the year the next night. No.
Did you watch her performances on SNL?
I did.
She was great. Wasn't she great?
She's always great. She's really talented. I like Halsey a lot.
We got to get to Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie, and we will. But first, I got to tell you guys about Vitalife. Vitalife is made of CBD. It is this substance made from the cannabis plant, but it will not get you high. This Vitalife is something that you can put in a drink. Or if you're real ballsy, you can drink it by itself.
Comes in a little, like a dripper thing, and you just put it under your tongue. 1-2 drops, whatever. But I've been using it. It's great for if you have muscle pain, and I've got something screwy with my shoulder and have for about 5 years. And I have problems sleeping sometimes. And, you know, before I go to bed, let me have a couple of drips of this. And it does seem to work. It takes the edge off, and it's better than aspirin. It's great. Vitalife. I recommend it. I use it. I like it.
Yeah, and it's great for anxiety. It's got so many benefits. You should definitely at least try it, especially because for a limited time, the PHP listeners get $25 off your first order by visiting tryvitalife.com. That's tryvitalife.com/Perez for $25 off your first order. Over the weekend, Jennifer Aniston celebrated her 50th birthday, and Brad Pitt was there. Oh my God.
I saw the headline, and I immediately texted you, and I was like, juicy.
Well, now everybody's like imagining what's happening or what will happen, or what does this mean? Is it just friends? Are they getting back together? Like, wow. Well, especially because according to reports, you know, they were not friends. While he and Angelina were together, Brad and Jen didn't have a relationship. So now for him to show up at her 50th birthday party.
I got a theory. Major. I got a theory.
What's your theory?
Well, it's friends, number one. I mean, they're friends. Funny. They're friends. And here's what I think what happened. If he is indeed sober, and he went through the program and he went through the steps, I think at some point he picked up the phone and said, look, here's my end of our relationship and what I did and what went bad. And I think that once that happened, I think that opened the door for them to become friends again and realize that they were great friends to begin with before they were even married, and they were a good couple in some regards. And I think it was a nice sentiment of him to visit her as a friend on her birthday. And she probably enjoyed it. She's single. She doesn't have a boyfriend that she has to, you know, clear it with. He's single. He doesn't have to clear it with anybody else. So it was, you know, it was a nice move. That's my theory.
Are you think they're getting back together?
No. Zero.
Zero?
Zero.
Oh, way to ruin.
All right, fine. Let me give it 5% just to give you a little boner, because I know you want them to get back together now.
I'm going to give it 10%.
You're going 10, huh? All right.
10% chance.
Okay.
Of Brad and Jen thunder.
Okay.
Anyways, in more couples news, Justin Bieber was on the cover of the new issue of Vogue with his wife, Hailey Bieber. Did you read any quotes from that?
I did. I read most of it.
Didn't you find it extremely odd how they were describing their new marriage as so, literally, quote, very hard?
Mm-hmm.
In my mind, isn't the first part of a marriage, the first year, like the honeymoon phase? Like, aren't you just the happiest?
Yes, if you're a normal human being. But Justin Bieber, as we've chronicled in depth on this show, is nowhere near a normal human being, or do they have a normal relationship when you're one of the most famous people on the earth. And I think he had some problems before that he obviously addressed in the article. I think his total transparency and honesty is a little dangerous, to be honest with you, to put it out there in print, but I don't think it's a bad sign. I actually ultimately think it's a good sign that he's talking about his life, and it shows me he's had some therapy, or maybe they've had some therapy, or individually, maybe together, who knows? And he's communicating, and he's evolving as a man. And he's, the older you get, the more you learn how to talk and express yourself. And I think that's a good sign. So I'm rooting for them. And I think it's more weird than that he shared so much. I would think that he would be a little bit more guarded. I'm not really sure why he shared so much. That's the gray area for me.
Yeah, well, like you mentioned, he talked about drug use. He even mentioned that, you know, his security would check on him just to make sure he had a pulse. That made me just think, gosh, what was he doing? He also revealed as a couple that they did not have premarital sex, according to them. I think they're probably not counting oral sex. You know, they're like, oh, blowjob does not count as sex.
I don't know. Maybe it's more of the message of church that they're putting out there. I don't know if I believe it. I can't believe they even commented on it, to be very honest with you. I don't know why they did. It's a little too personal. But okay, they're spreading the word, I guess.
I don't want to, I'm not being a hater. I don't see them lasting, but I wish them well. Good for them. I hope it lasts. And more music-related news. This was just, after everything that's happened, R. Kelly is going on tour.
Jesus. Not only is he going on tour,
in some places, his tour is selling out. Well, specifically in Germany.
Right.
They probably just are not as informed.
Ooh, healthy sex is great sex. Before you get busy, get your health on. Know your status and prevention options. Mm-hmm. Healthy and sexual belong together. Find out how at healthysexuals.com.
Anyways, an update. Last week we spoke about JWoww, and a lot of people had some feelings on that, as did I. Her soon-to-be ex-husband, Roger Matthews, just like the soon-to-be ex of Natalie Maines from the Dixie Chicks, wants to challenge her prenup. He signed a prenup, and now he does not want to abide by the prenup. And this dude had, I mean, it's clearly just a legal maneuver to try and extort her for money, but he's asking for full primary custody of their children. Whatevs. Lame-o. Well, speaking of crazy people, so much drama behind the scenes of the Wendy Williams show. Holy moly. She's still not expected back, at least for one more week. And a lot of reports of unrest with her staff, and a lot of people that work for her were upset that she spoke to Nick Cannon, who was filling in for her, before she even spoke to her own employees. And there was a recent report about her husband being too controlling and abusive and blah, 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 blah. Holy moly, drama. I don't know if she'll get renewed, to be honest. We'll see. I think her show is one of those weird shows that they don't do long renewals. Like, I think she goes year to year.
Maybe.
Am I wrong about that?
I don't know her deal. I don't know.
Anyways, on to other news. Ugh, who cares about it? Oh, I'll just be brief.
Okay.
Kim Kardashian and Kanye West. Yep. Kanye bought Kim Kardashian this $14 million condo in Miami as a Christmas present. And then Kim told Kanye she doesn't want it. So they just lost $600,000 in their security deposit.
Didn't they go down there? Am I wrong about this? Didn't they go down to the place and they took some pictures inside of it?
Yeah, they did. And then Kim said, you know what? It's not private enough. It's not big enough for us.
This is what I think. I think that he never bought it. I think there's some sort of deal with the place. They arranged something and they got some press out of it. Yeah, I smell something else going on here because I doubt they take a $600,000 hit for ultimately helping this place out. Something's up.
I could buy that. Mm-hmm. Also, speaking of the Kylie Jenners and money, Kylie Jenner threw her one-year-old daughter the most lavish first birthday party, rented out Universal Studios, the back lot, and spent probably $1 million on this party.
Damn.
It's insane.
Cool.
For her, because this kid's not going to remember that party.
Yeah, I mean, it's for her, but so what? If you got that kind of money, you want to shut it down, that's awesome.
You know, $1 million. Black China's own mother says that Rob Kardashian should have custody of her grandchild, Dream.
Oh, that's bad news, isn't it?
Yeah. Pete Davidson covered up his Ariana Grande tattoo with the word cursed.
Ooh.
That's morbid.
Yeah.
Because I'm concerned for that guy. Cursed. That's not a word I would want on me. And finally, that Amazon CEO, Jeff Bezos. Well, it's so wild. He put on blast the National Enquirer and their parent company, AMI, who he claims was trying to extort him. And I love that he did that. I think that those shady shenanigans should be illegal.
Yeah.
Before we take some calls, I want to remind you all, if you want your armpits or your mouth to smell and taste good.
Like coconut.
Kopari has got you covered. They've got their iconic coconut deodorant. They've also got some amazing toothpaste. They've also recently launched two new fragrances of deodorant, Beach and Gardenia. Kopari's deodorant and their toothpaste also is all natural. That it means no silicones, no sulfates, no parabens, no GMOs, or even baking soda. It doesn't have any of the stuff that might cause the cancer, and they're going to give you a money-back guarantee. So there's no reason not to give it a try. Go to KopariBeauty.com/Perez to make the safe switch today and save $5 off your first order when you subscribe. That's Kopari, K-O-P-A-R-I, beauty.com/Perez. Okay, we're going to get to calls in a second. I totally forgot about The Bachelor. Mm-hmm. Hit me with your update.
Oh, baby. Remember the girl that had never been kissed, that Heather girl?
Yeah, I brought her up last week.
Well, she's been kissed now. Fireworks went off in the background. It was a creepy kiss. It just did not. It was uncomfortable. It made me uncomfortable. It's because the girl doesn't have a chance.
Aww. What was creepy about it?
She'd never been kissed, and it just seemed awkward, and it felt like the show made them do it. Like, it felt forced, and it just looked weird. You could just tell there was no chemistry there. It was odd. I did not like that. That older chick that I thought was hot with the red hair, she's like, I don't know, 31 or 32. She's delusional. I could tell she's nuts. She overplayed her cards. She went to the dude, and she's like, I need to know what's going on with us. I need to move this relationship along. And this guy's like, look, you nitwit, I'm here with 12 other girls right now. This is a reality show. This isn't real. Mellow out. She wouldn't mellow out and basically talked herself off the show. So now she's gone. Shocking. She's single. She's a dingbat. They went on a group date. This Hannah B, she's that red faced girl I told you about that was the pageant girl. That's like kind of red faced underneath the makeup. She gave the first, I'm falling in love with you already. Way too early. I don't know why she did that, but I think she really like wants to be the bachelorette or something. But I don't feel it. The other Hannah G, I just wanted to bring her up because next time everybody's looking at her, notice her tiny little mouth. What was that character like, that beaker? Beep, 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 that had the tiny mouth. She has a tiny beaker mouth. I can't stop looking at it. Then there's the Cassie girl. She's like the beachy girl. They made out and then they crawled into bed together. And remember, he's a virgin. This guy must have blue balls. Like, his balls must be the size of Texas because they were like dry humping for sure. So
oh,
that was fun to watch. This, Anyika, she got in a fight with Nicole. It's these two girls, man. Girls don't get it. Ladies, listen to me. Don't ever fight in front of a man. Ever. Don't ever get into a brawl with another girl in front of a guy. Because this is what a guy is thinking in his mind as he's listening to two girls fight. One day, she's going to be screaming at me that way. And he saw both of these girls. And I was like, you both have both signed your death certificates. You're both done. You're out, you dummies. You don't fight like this in front of a dude. Because he's going to smell it and go, I don't need this in my life. I don't need this kind of drama. Unless he's a drama queen. So I think they're both going to get tossed from the show. But it's getting good. I mean, we're down to like 11 girls and I'm still into it. I'll keep you posted.
Sounds exhausting.
It's good, though. It was really a good episode last week. And to be this many weeks in and still be fun, that's a good sign.
All right, let's do the calls.
Okay.
Hey, guys. I don't want to say my name, and I'll tell you why quickly. I'm a judge in a neighboring state, and I do love your podcast. I enjoy driving downtown and listening. However, I do want to make a quick comment and give you basically a neutral judicial perspective on the whole JWoww issue. Booker, you are right on, and I know Perez does not have another spouse or another parent with whom he may have such conflicts, so perhaps it's hard to understand. But the bottom line is, you don't ever put that kind of information out anywhere. Trust me when I tell you the number of lawyers who use that information against the other parties in the courtroom, it's tremendous. Social media information is a nightmare for litigants. It's never in the best interest of children to air your dirty laundry out in the public. One day those children will be adults. They'll be looking to apply for colleges, jobs, et cetera. And you just never know what information is going to screw up their futures. So anyway, that's it, guys. Thanks again. Take care.
Huh. What's it like to always be wrong? Just answer that question for me. What does it feel like to constantly be proved wrong by me? It must leave a hole in your heart. Just tell me. Explain. Please.
Just because a judge said that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, you're right. She's probably
this
right.
Woman,
your dumbass is
probably
right. She's probably wrong.
She's a pathological liar, that college. I don't even believe
she's
the judge.
She's extremely articulate and intelligent pathological liar. If you listen to the way she spoke, that woman was damn near brilliant. Matter of fact, I can't believe someone that smart listens to our dumbass show. So God bless.
That's why she's lying. She doesn't listen. She's not that smart.
You think I set her up and wrote it for her? Oh, God. Another call.
Hey, guys. Liz from New York. I will make this super quick. I completely agree with Booker on the issue of JWoww and her husband. It is so incredibly inappropriate to put all of your information out there. Call the police, get your lawyers involved. It is just not the time or place for social media. I just completely, completely disagree about how both of them, Roger and JWoww, are handling this. Their kids are going to see it someday. And I just find it incredibly inappropriate. So I'm with you on that one, Booker. Have a great day, guys.
Perez, you think the court of public opinion matters. That's the difference. But
you know, no.
Go ahead.
No. Who cares? Who cares if the kids are going to see it someday? If I'm JWoww, you better fucking believe I'm going to be letting my kids know your dad beat me. That's not something I'm going to keep to myself.
Hi, boys. It's Annie from Florida, living in Southern Ontario. Calling about JWoww and Roger. I get what you're both saying. I agree with Booker that for the children, this should not be out in public. However, that is if this was a normal relationship. Those two have been in the spotlight from the beginning of their relationship. They are both extremely immature. And if you look at the videos, Roger's video of him being a douchebag, holding his son, taunting Jenny, she's running around screaming like a maniac when she should have just removed herself while her daughter is screaming in the background. They both look insane, and the kids shouldn't even be there with them. Jenny's video of Roger seemingly choking her and throwing her to the ground, again, neither one of them get a pass. She is a crazy, overreacting, neurotic cunt. We've seen this on Jersey Shore.
Whoa. Roger, all right, I'm going to stop her. Wow, I got to watch these videos. They must be great because I haven't seen any of them. But man, people have so many opinions about this. And just, we got so many calls about this. And I believe, I think we've got someone that's on your side of this. So let's hear from this person.
Hi, Perez. My name is Mary. I'm from the Bay Area in California. I have been following you since the beginning of your website, so I feel like we're friends. So I just started listening to the pod, and I got to say, what is going on with your fucking co-host? First of all, shaming JWoww for coming out about her domestic violence, and then shaming the people coming forward with the fucking Michael Jackson documentary. The reason that abusers are able to abuse is because of the culture of silence, because people stay quiet because they're ashamed. And we're fucking done with that. Hashtag time is up. Love you, Perez. Keep it up. Bye.
So there's a point for you. The judge was for me. That girl who clearly doesn't even listen to the words I was saying. I didn't shame anybody. I didn't say she shouldn't talk about it. I never said that. Those words never came out of my mouth. So there's someone on your side. Have you changed your opinion yet?
No. Of course you haven't. A lot of these people are thinking, they're thinking like normal people.
And you're not normal, right?
No. The big difference here is it's not a regular divorce. This guy allegedly was physically abusive.
Prez, it doesn't matter. It's still going to go to a judge. It doesn't matter if they're on TV, famous, not famous. The judges are going to give a goddamn.
Let's move it along.
All right. Well, but that's enough. Let's wrap this up. We've talked long enough. We'll take more calls next week. 800-721-1185. That's our number. And we'll do this again next week.
Bye.